Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding 2401 parking circuit section 1 boy.
Henry 9. Respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911 unattended 400 lower level near carousel 4 black bag. GTA in progress 401 parking structure section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Rob.
484 suspect is female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, High Frank, 401 is a route.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Private Officer Beat. Sponsored by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement organization, and our great friends over at Body Armor USA. Check them out online today at bodyarmorusa.com. We've got what it takes to protect you. We've got ballistic vests. We've got stab vests. We've got gloves. We've got all sorts of protection gear. And we've got a discount for you if you are a Private Officer member. Contact us today at bodyarmorusa.com. I'm your host today, Rick McCann, founder and CEO, and today we've got a lot of information that we're going to be sharing with you, including the 2016 statistical data. We're also going to be talking about some upcoming events, some new services, and of course, we're just at the tip of the year, and there's been so much violence. We're going to be talking about that as well. First, I do want to mention today, of course, is Monday, the 23rd of 2017. We just came through a weekend of hellacious storms. Many tornadoes passed through the southeastern states. Several dozen people killed, dozens of others injured, a lot of property damage. We see that a lot this time of year as the Gulf moisture coming up from the Gulf meets with the warmer weather. Sometimes in the Alabama, Mississippi, the Gulf Coast area, it develops. It begins heading a little bit north. It kind of mixes into some cooler air, and all of a sudden we've got wintertime tornadoes. And unfortunately, we see this repetitively almost every year, and this year, Georgia, Mississippi, parts of Florida, Alabama, just really, really hard hit. So please do keep them in your prayers. As I said, today we are going to be talking about the violence hitting private security. And, you know, the topic today, really, of our show is sirens are sounding. Sirens are sounding. Just like outside, when law enforcement and the fire department and ambulances are blaring their sirens down the road, trying to get to an emergency or trying to get a patient to the hospital. It's getting tougher and tougher, folks. I'm out there on the road. I see it. I'm part of it. I hear it. It's just unbelievable with people wearing headsets and talking on the phone, playing silly games on their phones and tablets while driving down the road. And cars are more insulated. They're better made. Even though sirens have gotten louder and blaring horns have been added, it's still impossible sometimes to get the attention of the drivers to move out of the way. They even came up recently with a type of siren that includes a ground wave that rattles the ground and feels almost like an earthquake happening, just to get the attention of drivers. And while the world is busy and not paying attention, it's exactly how it is in the security industry. People still are not hearing the sirens of change. They're not hearing the sirens of what's happening, the violence, the security injuries, attacks, and deaths. And that's what we're talking about today. But before we get there, we want to share some news with you. We want to talk about some other events that's happening, and we've got a lot to talk about. I can tell you that today I'm on my soapbox, and if you know me and you've listened to our show long enough, you know that there's topics that really goes to the heart of the matter, really gets my goat, really gets me to preaching, and this is one of those topics where the security industry, the public safety industry, even the in-house proprietary security staff are not paying attention. They're not listening to the sirens. They're not willing to change. And unfortunately, in many states, the regulatory laws are not keeping up with the times. They're not keeping up with what's happening, the duties, the expanded duties of private security, private law enforcement, and therefore, we're seeing devastation. Devastation like we've never seen before in this industry, and I've got a little experience, 43 years with this business. I can tell you the times are changing. Just like across the country, everything is changing. Everything moves forward or backward. And if you're not moving with it, you're standing still and you're going to get run over. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the biggest part of this radio program today. There's so much happening in the security industry. Case in point, over the weekend, very, very, very tragically, a security officer in Las Vegas, actually Henderson, Nevada, just outside of Las Vegas, was on duty, an armed security officer on duty at a Jared's jewelry store, when an armed man came in to rob it, waving his firearm around. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. I haven't seen any video of it, but I can definitely conjure up what happened. And unfortunately, in this situation, scary, adrenaline pumping, blood's pumping, people are afraid. I don't know how many customers were in the store, but I know that the armed security officer took aim at this armed robbery suspect and fired a shot. And I don't know how this happened, because I haven't seen the video, I haven't seen the documentation, but somehow that bullet did not reach its intended victim. It actually hit an employee of the store and killed her. The security officer trying to stop an armed robbery, trying to stop an armed offender, pulls his gun, points it at the robber, but it all goes haywire, and the employee of the store is killed. The robber turns tail and he runs as fast as he can go. And he's still being searched for today by local police. The security officer, I don't know if he had a good shot. I don't know if he had plain. I mean, when you're shooting someone, you got to know your target. When you're shooting, even hunting, you got to know your target. And we've seen this repeatedly. Now, this case, I'm sure, is going to be under investigation, but the early news, according to the media, is that police say no charges against the security officer. But that could be changed. Although they're saying it was accidental shooting, that could go to the grand jury. And they could say he was reckless. They could say that he shouldn't have used deadly force. They could say that he didn't have a clear shot. They could say there's enough evidence to prosecute him. He could be charged with murder, just like many others have been this month and every year. So we're going to talk a little bit about the deadly violence. We definitely want people to understand that private security is on the front line, that they're dealing with this every day. Oh no, this wasn't just a once in a lifetime. This wasn't just an occasional shooting by private security officers. No. In fact, just 24 hours earlier, in Rockford, Illinois, a bank robbery went down. And the security officer there was fired upon by the bank robber, and he too was armed, and the security officer pulled his weapon, and he shot, and the bullet made its mark, killing the bank robber right there in the middle of the bank. Crowded Friday afternoon, customers, employees, people pulling into the parking lot, shots fired by both the bank robber and the security officer. Maybe he was a better shot. Maybe he had a clear shot. Maybe he was better trained. I don't know, but he did an excellent job because he stopped not only the bank robbery, but he stopped others from being injured or killed by this lunatic bank robber who came storming in and shooting at the security officer. No, it's not happening just occasionally. It's not happening every few years. It's happening every few hours. In 3 weeks of January 2017, in the 3 weeks of this year, security officers have been involved in more than 200 armed confrontations. 200. They've killed dozens of people. We'll talk about that when we come back from this short break. Today we're talking about sirens are sounding. Are you listening? Are you hearing? Are you getting out of the way? Are you getting involved? We'll be right back after this message.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
And move over. When you see lights,
vests,
I'll be flaggers.
Please, give us some room. Slow down and move over. When you need us,
we've got your back.
You have ours.
You got our back?
You got ours? You got our back? Please, slow down.
And move over.
All right, we want to welcome you back to this edition of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Glad that you are with us wherever you might be in this big world. It's not as big as we might think or once thought, but it's still a big world, and we have a lot of listeners across the country and around the world in continents that I have not been, and definitely countries and areas that I probably will never get to. But we want to thank you for listening, and we do track where our listeners are listening from, so we know that there are many of you in places like Germany, Canada, France, and Tanzania, and all sorts of, you know, places that we're just amazed, and I say that frequently, but we really are. This edition, episode, this week is brought to you by Bricks Fashions of Nashville, Tennessee. Check them out if you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, even if you're in Kentucky, Georgia, Arkansas, Mississippi, it's worth the drive. 14823 Lebanon Road in Old Hickory. That's still part of Nashville, right off I-40. Give them a call at area code 615-288-2604. Bricks Fashions, they've got the style that you are looking for, and they are law enforcement owned. Chief James Hambrick, police chief from Mount Juliet, a friend of ours, a friend of POI's, is the owner, and we want to support him, and we ask that you support him too. Bricks Fashions, check them out online. Give them a call today at 615-288-2604. Today we are talking about sirens. Sirens are sounding. Things that people don't want to hear. They don't want to see. They're too busy living in their own make-believe world. In 2016, we had another violent, tumultuous year for private security, private law enforcement, and law enforcement in general. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. Although it looks to me like most employers and most consumers of private security don't care, I'm seeing a little bit of light around the country that they do care. And definitely with the serious attacks on law enforcement, we're seeing more companies, more individuals coming out to support law enforcement, backing the blue. And I hope that we can turn that toward private security, turn that support to the other frontline group that really deserves it. Now, before I go into the numbers of deaths and assaults and all the other statistical data from 2016, I want you to know that I really get upset and I really get frustrated when I see comments on social media and people's own business websites and blogs that are in the security or public safety industry who badmouth their own industry. When a security officer is killed, instead of saying, "Thank you for your service, rest in peace," people, security, public safety personnel, write negative comments. Someone wrote a few months ago on a person's officer down information that we listed, "You get what you pay for." What does that mean? Are you saying he deserved to die because he was making low wages? That he wasn't trained? That's not his fault. He was out trying to do the job. He was doing his best to protect life and property. He was killed in the line of duty. You would never see that on Officer Dom memorial page for law enforcement. You would never see that on the firefighter's memorial page. Never. I think it's time that the industry step up to professionalism. You can't expect other people, others in the arena, the media, the public at large, you can't expect them to understand and respect if you don't understand and respect yourself. And I'm telling you, if I see that on my Facebook, if I see that on POI's social media, not only will I delete it, I will block that person, and we have blocked people for doing that. We actually have canceled 2 memberships for violations recently. We stand strong in our belief that security and private police are the front line. Law enforcement is beginning to realize that. They're beginning to work with private security in many areas. But we've got a lot of stuff to do, a long way to go to clean up our own before we can expect other professions to look at us in the same way as if we were on the same level. Just under 100 security officers were killed last year. And while that's a shock, it shouldn't be, because every year we average 90 to 125. And every year I say the same thing that I'm about to say this time. We know it's more. I'm 1,000,000% sure that more security personnel die than what we discover, that we find, that we see in the media. Many times it's misrecorded. They're recorded under a different type of position. Sometimes it's recorded and announced in a local media that doesn't make the internet. It just doesn't go that far. You get a local newspaper that may not have the greatest website or the greatest internet news platform, and it may not go to the major news sources like the Associated Press, Reuters, and Politico, and different things, and so we're going to miss that. And if we don't have people like you across the country calling into us and saying, hey, did you know about this? Have you heard about that? Then we're not going to be able to report it, because we just don't have the manpower or the time to call every jurisdiction, every state, and say, hey, what do you have this year for the number of security officer deaths? Because sometimes they don't have it. It's misreported. They've got them listed as a janitor, as general laborer, as traffic control. Just last year, we had somebody listed as a flagger on a flag team at a traffic construction site. That's not what was happening. They were killed at a special event where they worked for a security company. It just so happened a car struck, killed them, and they're listed as a flagger. They weren't a flagger. They were a security officer. So it's very difficult to accurately report, unlike with law enforcement, because with law enforcement, the employer, the city, the county, the sheriff's department, the state, the federal agency, they report it, and it's immediately noted, immediately taken serious, and immediately it's dispatched nationwide across multimedia platforms, and then other media groups, TV stations, newspapers, and magazines pick up on it, and it gets published over and over and over again. And what happens, I don't know if you know much about the internet, I don't, I had to learn, but what happens is that as it continues to get published, that name, that event, the robots, the bots, pick up on it as they're scanning the internet, they're scanning all this information, and it begins to put that higher and higher and higher on the searches, on the information, on the news platforms, and all of a sudden, an officer killed in the woods of Nebraska, we hear about it in the big city of Charlotte. But when a security officer is killed in the woods of Nebraska, in the woods of Idaho, if it's not published If it's only on a little newspaper, if it's only on a little TV station, we're probably not going to find it. We're probably not going to see it. And I know 100% because we see every year, we find names after the fact that was not broadcast to all the major media. If the news doesn't report it, we're probably not going to pick up on it. We mentioned and we've written a few weeks ago that many security officers and private police die alone. And between 82 and 85% are shot to death. They're killed alone in the dark. Between the hours of 8 p.m. and 4 a.m. is when the majority of security officers and private law enforcement are killed, and nobody is there. Some are left lying in the parking lot, left in their vehicle until the morning, until some employee comes in and finds them. There's a lot of things happening out there that we need to correct. As an association, we can only do what financially you allow us to. A lot of people follow us on social media, read our news blogs, over 2 million hits. A lot of people listen to our radio show, over 100,000 times a year. But if people don't support, if they don't be members, if they don't become members, if they don't donate to our memorial fund, if they don't get actively involved, if they don't generate this information to others, pass it along, nobody knows and nobody cares and nobody hears, and it's going to be the same old thing tomorrow, next week, and next month, and next year, and it's going to go on and on and on. If not us, then who? Who will carry the torch? Who will carry the message? Every time a security officer is killed, we talk about training, we talk about communications, we talk about the necessity of changing the formula of providing security. It's always about the bottom line. It's always about, well, you know, we can't do this, we can't do that. In one of my recent articles, I said, really, I put it pretty bluntly, I said, are you really ready to let another one of your employees die? Do you care that little? Isn't it time that we prevent it, do our best? I think that we as employers should issue vest in some of the more dangerous assignments. I think that we should arm a majority of our security officers once we vet them, recruit them better, train them better, pay them better. I don't care what the state regulatory requirement is. I don't care about what someone thinks. If the client doesn't want that type of trained, experienced, professional officer, then we probably should pass that client up. And I own and have owned a security company. I understand the bottom line. I understand the competition. I understand about not turning business down because we're trying to grow a business, but at whose expense? Who's dying? Not you, if you're the manager home in bed at 2 in the morning. Who's left in the parking lot dead for hours at a time? Last year, 3 security officers were killed and found later on in bodies of water. Several of them were there for the whole weekend, wasn't found until that following Monday. If we don't stand up, if we don't make these changes, there's going to be a lot more death and injuries. 46,000 plus security officers assaulted in 2016. Workplace violence, I've said this before, even if you just did the minimal, even if you just said, okay, there's about 1.3 5 million security officers in the U.S. Let's say there's just 1 million. So let's call it 1 million. Even if you just said 10% experience some type of workplace violence, they're assaulted, they're threatened, they're in a situation of danger. 10% is 100,000, 100,000 times a security officer faces violence, workplace violence, every year. The numbers are staggering. We have to take a break, but when I come back, I want to talk about insuring and insurance and death benefits and why there's a problem with that and the mind-boggling predicament that we're in because of the statistics that are so astounding and shocking that some insurance companies don't want to risk it. You're listening to the Private Officer Radio. We'll be right back after this message.
HirePatriots.com is a free website where you can help our active, reserve, veteran military and their families by letting them help you. Do you have a chore that needs doing around your home or yard? Is your company looking for a new hire? Then post your jobs for free at HirePatriots.com. Visit HirePatriots.com and post your jobs today.
Welcome back. You're listening to this edition, episode 400. Can you believe it? 400 of the Private Officer Beat Radio, sponsored by Private Officer International, a security and law enforcement association. I'm your host, Rick McCann, and this episode is brought to you by Body Armor USA, bodyarmorusa.com. We've got what it takes to protect you. If you're a correction officer looking for a stab vest, you're looking for some body armor because you're a patrol officer, security officer, give them a call because they've got the right equipment. I can tell you that. It's the top-of-the-line stuff. Check them out at bodyarmorusa.com. Give our friends a call. Make sure that you mention that you are a POI member. You're going to get a discount just for saying that. Bodyarmorusa.com. We've got you protected. We have, over the years, talked about insuring our benefit program, not only for our members, but for private security and police across the country, offering them a benevolent protection, their families, should they get killed on the job. And a couple of years ago, I had a big meeting and really... It was right down to the wires. I was about to sign a contract with a company out of Kansas, and they did some, their underwriters did some research in the industry, and they said, whoa, I don't know if we can do this. I said, well, why not? They said, because you have a lot of deaths by violence, a lot of traumatic death. And I said, well, that's true. We do have quite a few of those. But not our members. I mean, in fact, we haven't had but one loss of a member that was killed on the job. And, you know, we're self-insured, but we haven't had a problem. And I said, well, but your industry has. And I said, well, what about law enforcement? They've got a lot more dying. And they said, well, no, not really, because most of theirs are in accidents and heart attacks and things that really aren't covered in a on-the-job, in the line of duty type death. So they may or may not pay out if somebody has a heart attack because it's not a traumatic, you know, they weren't killed in the line of duty. They just died on the job. Totally different things. If you just die having a heart attack, you know, that's not the same as dying in the line of duty. Totally different. So that's why a lot of times with fire service, you see A firefighter will respond to a fire at 10 p.m., and they wrap up the fire, go back to the firehouse, or go back home, and the next day they have a heart attack and die, and the fire chief says, this is because of all of the work he did, the stress, and so on and so forth at the fire, and they get someone to say, okay, yeah, that's what happened, and now they're covered in the line of duty death. But the insurance company looked at the statistics, did some research, and said really only about 30 or 35% of law enforcement are really killed in the line of duty, by traumatic injury, stabbing, shooting, being run over by a car. But in private security, wow, you guys have like 80, 90% that are killed. They looked at my own website, and they started looking at the numbers and said, we would have a lot more, death benefits that we have to pay out than what we would probably recoup in premiums. We don't think we could do this. And that's really a quandary that we're in this business. Because the truth of the matter is security officers are truly killed in the line of duty. They just don't die on the job. Two different things. And so it's very difficult to insure a benevolent fund because very few insurance companies want to touch it. We're still seeking, we're still searching, and we're still talking with other companies, and we hope to be able to set up a national benevolent fund somehow, some way, for not only our members, but for other officers as well. Just last week, I had a conversation with a representative of another large security association. And he said, look, we're talking in our meetings about providing some type of benevolent fund for security, and we heard that you have all the facts and you've been doing this for a long time. We'd like to get some of your information, maybe work on this project together. And as I told them about everything that we've done in the last 14 years or so, the person said, oh, I didn't realize it was going to be that difficult. I didn't realize that it was that many, end of line of duty deaths. I didn't realize that it was that many traumatic deaths. And then there's some other issues. How do you administer a benevolent fund? If we have a national fund, where do we get the money? If we do a fundraiser, who's going to hold on to the cash? Who's going to sign on the dotted line? What bank is it going to? There's a lot of different logistics in talking about a national benevolent fund for all of security and private police. It's not as easy as, snapping your fingers and all of a sudden, okay, we're on the road. It's done. It doesn't work like that. Sirens are sounding in our industry as more and more security officers are in really high-profile jobs. And when I say high-profile, I don't mean guarding the president. I mean working the ditch, working in the trenches, working in the street where crime happens. The reason why more security officers are injured, assaulted, and killed today than ever before is because back in 1940, 50, 60, security officers rarely chased the criminal. But they do now. Even if it's an observe and report post, they still expect security to intervene, to stop and question, to detain. We have to understand, as I stated in my last article, if you haven't read it, we can send it to you. Contact helpdeskprivateofficer.com. The things that security officers do today put them in harm's way. Even if they just go question somebody, hey sir, how you doing? Do you belong here? Are you a resident? Are you employed here? Can I see some identification? Well, now they're in the middle of a potentially harmful, even deadly situation if the person is non-compliant, resist, or pulls out a weapon. Now what? Too late to run, too late to hide. They have one other choice, and that is to fight. Just in the last couple of days, We've had several situations where security officers were on just doing routine jobs. One was an access control, just checking somebody in, checking on who they were. And the person got upset because they were asking them questions and pulled a knife. Loss prevention. They make over 1 million apprehensions every year. Apprehensions, just another word for arrest. They are really making arrests. Shoplifting is a crime in progress. Can we all agree to that? It's a crime in progress. And when weapons and force is used, that little misdemeanor, no matter what the value of the property, turns into a robbery in every state. So now you have a felony, a robbery, and you've got LP agents unarmed, untrained, and unable to defend themselves. Unarmed security, same thing. This officer in the access control, all he's doing is basic general security duties according to his employer, and all of a sudden, he's in the middle of a confrontation where a person pulls a knife. Can't defend himself. Has no way to run. His back is against the wall. What do you do? If we can't train, equip, and ready our staff, our personnel, to defend themselves, how can we expect them to defend others? With workplace violence and active shooters on the rise, how can they protect themselves or others? I'll be screaming this until the cows come home. Until my dying day. Better believe me. Somebody's got to hear sooner or later. Somebody's got to take it to heart. Hey, maybe we're not going to get rich in our security company, but we need to start planning a different model. We need to have a different way of doing business. Let's protect our own first. Let's have quality people. Then we can protect our clients. Over 200, somewhere around 240 armed situations have occurred in the U.S. with security in the month of January. Not last year, not last 2 years ago, not 6 months ago, in the last 23 days. That's at least 10 a day. And that's just the ones that get in the media. That's just the ones publicized. That's just the ones that we see, that we know, that we confirm. And security officers have killed 20 people. 20 people. Just over the weekend in Las Vegas, security officer at a jewelry store at a mall. Armed robbery goes down. He accidentally shoots and kills the jewelry clerk, an employee of the store. The suspect runs and is still on the loose. We don't blame the security officer, but maybe we should. I know he was trying to do his job. I know he wasn't properly trained. He wasn't no expert with firearms. He wasn't a sharpshooter. And some would say, well, we can't expect him to be all that. He should be proficient enough to know what his target is, to know what's behind his target, to know what the risk is, to make a quick, snap, split-second assessment before pulling the trigger. If he didn't have a clean shot, he shouldn't have fired. And this isn't the first time. This is actually the second time this month. 8 or 9 security officers in January this year have been charged with murder. If you don't believe me, again, contact helpdeskprivateofficer.com. We'll send you the link to the news stories. We can sit on our hands all day long. We can have our head under the rug. We can be just blind to the fact that security is not security of 40, 20, 30, even 10 years ago. We can close our companies when they get sued. We can go out of business and start over tomorrow. But that's not going to bring back the life of the security officer killed on the job, or the life of the person that the security officer killed wrongly. It's time that we stop and take a good look at the reason why we're in the security business. Why are you in the business? Is it just to make money? Just to make profit? Then you're probably in the wrong business, because there's not a lot of profit in providing security service. In the old days, security service was just like a staffing company. You provided manpower. You got paid an hourly billable. You pay the employee about 70, 75%. You got 25% time that you deducted all the expenses, insurance, taxes, overhead, office, all of that. You might have, $1 per hour in profit, maybe. I've said time and time again, security companies operate in the same way McDonald's does. How do you think McDonald's can sell a cheeseburger for 99 cents? It's not because they source out cheaper beef. It's because they sell in quantity, such large quantities, that even if they only make 5 cents, a nickel, from every cheeseburger, they're making high profit margins because of the quantity, the billions that they sell every year. And security, very much similar, they base now their profit not on the actual billable. Oh, sure, we'd like to get $40 an hour, but we know that clients aren't going to pay up because competition is heavy. So what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and bid a little bit lower than our competitor. We're going to make a little bit less profit, but we'll have more hours because we'll just keep on getting clients, even though we can't recruit, train, and properly place security in those positions. We're going to keep on selling, so that we can say, look at our accounts. We've got 80,000 hours this week. We got 220,000 hours in this office a month that we're billing, even though it might be at $10 an hour. Look at the profit we're going to make in the long run. What they're not looking at is what type of service are you providing? What's the quality of your product? The quality sucks. Let's be honest. It sucks in most cases. Security in most cases in the contract world is as poor as it's ever been. There's some high quality companies out there struggling to be professional. There are some companies out there trying to do better. They're trying to recruit better people. But it's those low ball contracts, those low ball competitors who are beating them back, saying, either you do it our way or you're going out of business. And clients who don't want to come off an extra 10 or 20 cents an hour because they see the bigger picture. If I pay 25 cents more an hour and I'm billing, I've got 1,000 hours of security every week, and in the long term, year, 2 years, 5 years, how much extra am I paying? That's a lot of money to them. So they don't want to pay it. That's where we're at in this industry. And until we can figure out a better way, a better system, our employees, our front line, will continue to be injured, killed, left alone to die. Because we don't want to buy two-way radios. We don't want to spend an extra $100 to train them on self-defense. God forbid if we have to put a gun in every security officer's hand. Well, that's what it's coming to. Let's be honest. Would you go in some of those neighborhoods, you unarmed in your personal vehicle with your wife and kids, would you drive down that drug-infested neighborhood at 4 in the morning, 2 in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning? Would you? Of course not. But you expect your unarmed officer to be there on post all by himself, no two-way radio, no gun, no backup, no nothing, with, hope it all goes well. realistically, the security contract security industry model is broken. And only a handful of companies across the country are willing to acknowledge and work on making it better. Last year, I talked with a company out of Texas. He said, let me tell you, I'm not the biggest fish in the pond. I'm not the biggest company in Houston, but I can guarantee you my employees get paid the most of any company. They have benefits. They have training. We spend money. And our people. Because we know that's the only way to keep good people. That's the only way to get good clients. They don't do nightclubs. They will not do apartments unless they allow those security officers to be trained, armed, and radio equipped. They don't do a lot of silly type security. Oh, I want a security officer here from 11 p.m. until 3 a.m. Unarmed. I want him here at the convenience store because those are the most riskiest hours. No! We'll be there, but we're charging $35 an hour, and we're going to be armed. The security contract security industry is broken. The model that we've used since forever, 100 years, come on. Those days are over. No law enforcement officer, no constable, no deputy sheriff would ever go into the positions, the places that private security do without their weapons to a radio backup. Nobody. Think about it. As I asked a moment ago, would you put your wife and kid in the cars and go over to the housing project, go over to those slum apartments that you've got contracts at in the bad side of town? Would you go over there at 3 o'clock in the morning with all of your family, kids, and everybody in the car without a gun, without a phone, without communication, without backup? Of course not. Let's be real. But yet, you take the contract and you put your security person there. You put them at that Motel 6 that has a shooting every other weekend that's loaded with drug dealers, prostitutes. You put them over there at the low-end hotels, the fast food joints late at night. All these places that are high risk, high danger. And say, oh, hope everything works out okay. And you pay them crap for it. We have to change the industry. We have to do better. We have to think about the employee, not the employer, not the bottom line. Because these 100 security officers that are killed every year, I got news for you. Mark my word, I'm willing to stake my life on it. Within the next few years, 5 years, you're going to see 150, 200 security officers killed. They probably already are. We're just not tracking them enough. We're just not able to get the data that we need to prove it. Think of it. There's not an industry in this world that's got 1 million or 2 million people involved in an industry with the risk that we have that they don't have at least, 1% killed every year. 1 million people. 1.5 million, 2 million people working security, 100 dead every year, that's low. I talked to a police chief a couple of months ago. He said, I expect you to tell me it was like 300 or 400. That would make more sense. And that's really, maybe that is realistic. I'm sure it's more like 150. We're just not getting the data. We're just not finding those numbers as hard as we try. Sirens are sounding. Are you listening? Are you hearing? Are you getting out of the way? Are you understanding? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to protect your employees? Are you willing to be the one who makes the difference, makes the change? Or are you just worried about the money? Are you just worried about being the low bidder? I won't mention the security company's name, but there's a security company not too far from me They've had 3 or 4 security officers killed in the last 2 years. Another security company in Florida, they have 1 or 2 of theirs killed almost every year. I mean, come on, people. You're putting them in high-risk areas. No communication, little training. I think every security company who has a security officer in a high-risk position should give them a vest. Not sell them a vest, not make them buy a vest, give them a vest. It should be part of the uniform. Give them a two-way radio. Give them a firearm. Train them. Protect your own, and then you can protect others. Protect your own, and then you can protect others. That's all the time I'm going to have for this soapbox sermon today. But I want to mention a couple of quick things real quick before we leave. We have a brand new magazine coming out. It will debut next month in February. It's a great digital online magazine. We've been working on it for quite a while. A lot of opportunity for marketing, advertisement. We are seeking some writers. If you're a subject writer, some material that you'd like to submit, send it to helpdeskprivateofficer.com. Also, we are bringing back and we've restructured our credentials. The CAPP credential and the various credentials that we've had over the years. We have restructured, redesigned. Be looking for an email about that. A lot of opportunity to be able to become more professional and be credentialed. We also have a brand new service for contract security companies, churches, schools, and others who have in-house security staff. It's an online academy. This academy will have 30 basic courses, 20 advanced courses, and your employees can be able to go there anytime, day or night, access the material, and take the 1 to 4 hour class, get a certificate, and it's an excellent in-service tool, an excellent remedial tool, and also it's used for promotion. If you're going to promote somebody, they have to go through particular courses before they get that promotion. We hope that, you know, this really goes over very big. You can put Johnson Academy powered by Armor College. It's an online format. It's a secured format. We administer it. We have all of the maintenance of it. You just have it on your website or wherever, and your employees can take advantage of it. If you'd like more information, send an email to helpdeskprivateofficer.com. Although it's being offered through Armor College, they'll connect you with the right person. That's all the time that we have for this edition, the 400th edition of the Private Officer Beat. I'm your host, Rick Buchan. Until the next time, be blessed, be safe, and we will see you back here on the radio.